Once again, we do thank our young folks for singing for us, and to Joanne, who helped to prepare them even for this evening. May the Lord bless and challenge us through His own precious and divine word. Have your Bibles. We're turning to the Old Testament, book of Genesis in the chapter 5. The book of Genesis in the chapter 5. For time's sake, we will not read all of this chapter this evening. It's one of those scary chapters to a degree. I was thinking back to the night that David Ramsey gave his testimony. David said at the beginning, he says his Bible was full of Belfasts. This is one of these chapters. You could have an odd Belfast here or there, at least for me anyway. But there's still, it's the Word of God. It's always worthy to give heed. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. God's Word opened again before we come even to read. We're going to seek the face of God again to ask His blessing upon the reading and the preaching of His Word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, once again, we come before Your Word. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt open it up, that Thou wilt create light, and that Thou wilt create that understanding that men and women and young people in this place this night might understand their standing and their state before Thee and find in Christ a refuge. So to that end, fill me now with Thy Spirit. Grant that grace and that liberty and that empowerment to preach Your Word. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 5. We'll take our reading from the verse 18. Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Amen. We'll add, ask God for His blessing upon the reading of His own precious and divine word. My intention was to read the whole chapter. But whenever we come to the book of Genesis, we come into Genesis chapter 1. We come to a world that is filled with void and emptiness. And God begins His creation. Out of darkness, He brings forth light. Out of voidness and emptiness, He starts to bring forth life. Land appears. There's the division of the waters and the land. Light comes forth. The stars, the sun, the moons. There starts to come that life even into the ground. And you have the different plant life, the trees, the flowers, the herbs, all of their splendor and all of their beauty. Then you bring forth the insects and the animal life and all of the color and all of the splendor and all of the design as it starts to take its place and its position. God's comment upon all these things, that it was all very good. We then do come in to chapter 3, and we're immediately introduced to the fall. And we pass on then, and we find then a brighter subject appears, for we find new life appearing. Children are born. And there's those tiny footsteps, and there's that joy, that splendor as this life starts to grow and increase, and the population starts to increase throughout the earth. You can imagine somewhat of the splendor. But then we come to Genesis chapter 5. I believe this has to be one of the darkest and gloomiest chapters that we read. Because if we were to take time and we were to read over it, you can start there in the verse 5 and you will read even concerning Adam. And you'll see what it says there concerning Adam. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And get these words. And he died. You see, you remember God said to Adam, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And here there's been all this life upon the earth, all this splendor, all this glory, but there's been no death. Now there's death. The graves are being dug. The gravestones are starting to take their place. And as you go down throughout this chapter 5 of Genesis, in verse 8 you read, and he died. Verse 11, and he died. Verse 14, and he died. And all of the darkness and the gloominess of this chapter 5, and you know the stark reality of it. Chapter 5 is not closed. You can cross the road tonight and go up into the cemetery. It's not just the place you want to go now, maybe at dark. And go right to the very top of the cemetery and turn left and go down to the bottom wall and turn left, and then about four or five rows in, you will come to a headstone, and written on that headstone is Norman C. Hanna died on the 14th of February 2001. You know what's more? You will find on each side of that headstone, there's blank plots of ground. You know what it's for? One of them's for me. And he died. That's the stark reality of Genesis chapter 5. It is appointed unto man once to die. And again, you can take your time and go through that graveyard. Or you will go to that headstone of Norman C. Hanna, 74 years. But you will go through that graveyard and you will find all ages. And they died. But tell me tonight, young man and young woman, in Hebron Free Presbyterian Church tonight, an older person, after you die, for Hebrews chapter 9 makes it very clear, it's appointed, and you will die, but after this, there's a judgment. What then? Paul was asking me for a title. I'm not very good at those types of things. But if you want a title, what I give it tonight is a light that shines in a day of darkness. Because here in Genesis chapter 5, folks, there's a light that shines in the midst of all of the gloom, in the midst of all of the darkness, in the midst of all of the death. There's a light that shines. In verse 24, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Is there a light shining in your heart tonight? You see, was Enoch different? We read this whole genealogy here in Genesis chapter 5. What was different about Enoch? Why is there this slant of the statements that said about Enoch? What made him different from the rest? Is there anything that makes you different from this world tonight? See, there's some things I want to lay before you tonight about Enoch. And the first truth that is set forth within the Word of God about Enoch, Enoch was a sinner. He wasn't born a righteous, a saved man. But his personal state was that he was a sinner. Now, it's a very, very short caption that we have here in Genesis chapter 5 concerning this man called Enoch. But the Spirit of God, in other passages, sheds a little more light upon this man. For example, if you go to the little book of Jude, there's only the one chapter, you find there in the verse 14 of Jude, and it says there, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam," placed him in this genealogy. But he's a son of Adam. Yep. He was born a sinner. As in Adam, all die. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Enoch is amongst that crowd. But not only here is this his personal state, but he had a privileged state. But what a privilege this man had in the time and the day and the age that he lived in. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, you will find another genealogy, and it's the genealogy of Cain. That doesn't bring the same privileges in the same light. Cain, you will remember, if you like, we could entitle him, he's a sensual sinner. Everything about him is self-centered. You will find also that is recorded for us there in the chapter 4 that he built a city. And he called the name after his son, Enoch. That's a wonderful name. The word name, the Enoch, actually means tutored, dedicated. And here Cain, as he builds this city, he is tutoring, he is dedicating his whole energy and his life upon this boy and upon all of his family to those things that are self-centered. And they want to build the cities. They want to build names for themselves. Remember, that's exactly where Cain come from whenever he brought his offering before God. He was the important one. His offering was the important thing. Okay, and that sensual individual who blatantly denies and refuses God. I hope there's none like that in here tonight. I was listening to a program not very long ago there, and they had atheists on who totally denied the very existence of God. There was a minister on, and they asked him the question. He says, "Do you believe the year you're living in? Do you believe the date and the month that you're living in?" And of course, they caught on immediately and they laughed it off. That is just the presentation of men. They would deny the very existence of God. That's the type of being contained. But Enoch? No. He comes from the descendancy of Seth. You see in the chapter 4 and the verse 26, it's recorded there, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." And you see what it says here? "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." That's the privilege, position that Enoch was in. He was in this position whereby he was amongst a people who called upon the name of the Lord. What a privilege. What a privilege. His father called him Enoch. Tutored. Dedicated. Educated. What in? The things of God. His father's name is Jared, descendant. His grandfather's name is Machiel. God is splendor. And you can see from these names as they're being presented that this is the tutoring that Enoch was being presented in. And what a privileged individual this man was. But you know what the reality is, and the Bible makes it clear for us here. That for 65 years, Enoch refused God's mercy and God's grace. After all of the influences, after all of the preachings, he passes it by as nothing. And as I spread my eye over this congregation this evening, can I ask you that are unsaved tonight, how many years have you gone through those doors and said no once again to Jesus Christ? I will not have this man to rule over me. Oh, you be very aware. You are not rejecting this church. You are not rejecting the elders or the session of this church in any case or form, or the minister. You turn your back upon God. And in the midst of all of those privileges, where will you be? And when the day comes, and if the Lord should tarry, that you take your place in that plot of ground that is set for you wherever it is, how will you stand before God? For death is one of the most certain of things of this life that we can be sure of. It's coming. But what then? Enoch, for 65 years, after all of the tutoring, after all of the teachings, after all of the preachings, after all of the prayers, he's rejecting the mercy and the grace of God. Is that your testimony tonight? And you're still found in that place and position. Very morbid, aren't we? But here's the light. Here's the glorious blessing for us now. Enoch was a sinner, but Enoch got saved. Glory to God. You will see what happens here to Enoch. There came a day, a particular time, under particular circumstances and situations, and they're not all clear for us here. But it says in the verse 22, and the verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. You see, something happened at this period of time. The light and the realization, I am a Christ and a God rejecter. And at standing at that point, he now turns to God and to God alone. Not to his descendancy. Not just to the privileges that were set before him. Not to any religion. For you see what it says about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Now there's the important thing, and that's where we need to ask the question tonight, now, just here now at this moment in time. Man and woman, young man, young woman in this meeting tonight, are you walking with God? Was there a day that you began that walk? Can you look back to the time whereby you confessed your sins before God realizing that those sins were separating you from God, and because of those sins, you're going to be damned forevermore. What a privilege. In Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus tells a parable. Lazarus and the rich man. I believe it to be a true story, but regardless. But you remember that rich man, he sees Jacob there afar off, and he answered to Abraham, and he asked that they would send forth Lazarus to speak to his brothers. You remember what the reply was? They have Moses and the prophets. You know what he was saying? They have the Word of God that displays the reality of sin and man's state and standing before God. And the remedy for it is found in and through the person and work of God. And we were thinking somewhat of this morning. Dear man and woman, in here tonight, you have this privilege. It has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. And how many times have you been preached to? And how many times have you refused and rejected? Oh, I ask you to be wise this evening and to turn from your sin. You see, Enoch came to the place that he realized his state before God. It goes on and it tells us there in that little book of Jude. It says, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, he prophesied, or he preached. He was a preacher. Now, why did he become a preacher? Because he had these realizations, and he preached according to his convictions, and he preached according to what he came to see as truth and reality. What was that? Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. What for? To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. You see, Enoch, he came to the place that he realized that he was ungodly and he had done those ungodly deeds. And that was his state and his standing. And he came to the place to realize that there's a judgment day. And I've got to stand before God. Are you there tonight? The reality that there's a judgment day. Remember, I'm speaking to somebody out, and again there, as you sit at your computer, do you understand this evening your state and your standing before God? And oh, that we can get this reality. Death is but a stamp. It's but a stamp. And here is Enoch. And as he grasps his great need, he grasps his great need of the person and work of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5, we are told there that by faith in it was translated that he should not see death. Why was that? For in the verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, get this word, must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And here is Enoch, and he's coming by faith in this full realization of who and what he is. And his only remedy is outside of himself. It is found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And because Enoch come to this place and he's got saved, then Enoch began to follow the Lord. You see, there was a sign. There was a definite evidence that this man was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because from this time, from the birth of Methuselah, his whole life, his whole mind, his whole attitude, his whole emotions have changed. He's a total new being. He has new desire, he has new aims. He's going in a new direction. And he's now communicating to his family and to those out abroad about the judgment of God that's coming. And that Jesus Christ is coming again to establish a new reign. Oh, tell me tonight, where are you? Have you a walk with God? Maybe I'm talking to somebody here this evening. And you're saying, I used to have. But through the deceitfulness of the devil, the encroachment of the world, you're walking now in bypath meadows. There isn't this walk with God. And whenever it says here in the verse 24 that Enoch walked with God, this walk is referring to a continual and a steady walk. Here, as Enoch was walking, he was in that prayerful estate before God. He was listening to what God was saying. He put that time and that effort. And that was within his walk. But that's not your place tonight, is it? You're out of step. You've got away from the things of God. Oh, can I say to you this evening, thank God there's a way back. Oh, your peace has gone. Your contentment has disappeared. And you can have it tonight. For the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will impart rest unto you. Just like those apostles that we read of there in John's Gospel, after the death of Jesus Christ, they're all gathered in the room, filled with fear and degradation because of the circumstances that are all going around. The armies and the soldiers, the Romans and the Jews, have all this upheaval against the person of Jesus Christ and all those that would follow him. And all of this turmoil of mind and state that they sit in that room, immediately the Lord Jesus appears before them. And he says, peace give I unto you. Just know, in the midst of all of the troubles, in the midst of all of those disturbances, there can be peace. My time's gone, but let me close just with this story. I do refer to the cemetery. I was referring to the burial place of my father. February 1967 saw two faith mission pilgrims come into our area at a gospel mission. I witnessed a total change in my house. The only one at that time, I suppose, that really was a Christian within the home was my mother. But at that mission, I had an uncle that got saved. I had two brothers that got saved. And my father made a profession at that mission. I believe that was something that was done. For just after that, I am now 8 years of age. But I can recall it. The change that it brought to my home. The television was switched off, the Bible was open, and my dad was pointing the Word of God and I was following the reading of God's Word. Why? Because God brought one of the most gracious privileges. Either as a change came. I don't know what happened. But Dad got away. He became so cold and so indifferent. I would have to say this evening, to my shame, I can only remember twice of speaking directly to him about the things of God. And those both times brought great fear and degradation to my own mind. Because whenever I had said all that I could say, I met with a silence of one of the most deadly sorts. You know, there's times I wish they would have cursed me or said something, but there was nothing but dead silence. Nothing said. And there was this dead refusal to accept anything. But the walk was interrupted. But thank God, there came another night in Coleraine Hospital, just at the end of January of 2001. And God broke that man that was hardened and indifferent. And he had 2 weeks' walk with God, or just over it. Was that not close? But what of you tonight? Have you walked with God? Is there that light in your soul? Are you in Christ? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we commit and commend this day to you. Take your word, apply it to the hearts. Oh God, grant that here there'll be that desire to walk with God. To that end, work in the hearts and minds of all that are gathered. And we leave it all in your hands this evening. And to that end, separate us once again in your fear. And may the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be your portion both tonight and until Jesus comes or calls. Amen.